Several years ago, there was a show on television, I believe it was on CBS, called Early Edition. Some of you may have watched that show. And basically, the premise of every show was a man got up in the morning, went out to his door at his apartment, and he got the newspaper. And the first time he realized there was a problem, he starts reading the paper and noticing that nothing in the paper is about what happened yesterday. He said, "This is strange." He said, "The story seemed different." He said, "It all seemed kind of in the future." And he looked on the date on the newspaper, and it was for the next day. So he was getting an early edition. He was getting what was all going to happen on that day. And he had the opportunity to go and change some things, to keep bad things from happening, or to see good things happen. Every day he would wake up and he would get an early edition. He would get a preview of that day's events. And he, in every episode, he was going about doing things related to what he already knew that was going to happen. I wonder what you would do if that were to happen to you. If you had information about what was going to happen in the future, what would you do? If you knew what the stock market was going to be like, I think I know how all we would all react to that. If you knew exactly what was going to happen with the weather, it had already happened, and you knew exactly what was going to happen, not estimating to the best of their ability what the weathermen do and trying to give us the best forecast, but you already knew exactly the way the day was going to be. Of course, you would dress differently. What if you had information about accidents, of course, car accidents? Would you go to a place to try to tell somebody to prevent them from doing something? You knew someone's house was going to get broken into. You imagine it would be a great blessing on one hand, but at the same time, be an incredible burden. Think about how difficult your life would be if you knew all of these things that were going to happen, but you were just one person. And how do you decide who you're going to help? How do you decide what you're going to stop from happening? How do you decide how much advantage you're going to get in life? And could you really live with yourself if you had special advantages that somebody else didn't have and you couldn't tell them how you got that information? But we still all want to know about the future. The future is big business. People are very interested in horoscopes. They think, well, maybe the day I was born matters to what my future is going to be. So they read horoscopes. They're very interested in crystal balls and tea leaves and people that make predictions about the future. It's amazing how many people throughout history got together with these cult leaders or these preachers. And notice the big message of these cult leaders is the future. The attraction of these people is they're so charismatic in how they present what they believe, but the message is always about the future. Charles Manson talked about the coming of a race war he thought was going to happen. And part of the things that they did, and related to the pigs they talked about, the police, they tried to create those violent acts so the people would look at the black population. And that was going to start this great race war in the country. Look at people like David Koresh in Texas, down in Waco, back in the 90s. What was he talking about? The future. What's going to happen down the road? The world is going to end on this certain day. And for whatever reason, people are drawn to that. We want to know what's going to happen next, and it seems like this person has got it all figured out. So I'm going to attach my life to their prophecies. But we have the Bible, of course. We have God telling us about the future to a certain degree. What we ought to think about it. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 7. Since no one knows what will happen, who can tell him what is going to come? A rhetorical question. Said, look, nobody knows what the future is like, so how can you really trust somebody who's going to tell you the future? How do we face the future? Since we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, since tomorrow's not even guaranteed to be here, since the Lord's going to come back like a thief, we are told, unexpectedly, how do we face the future? What does the Bible say about how we should look at tomorrow? What we're going to do this morning is look at three things the Bible says that we should not do in regard to the future. and three things the Bible says we should do in regard to the future. That's 6 points, but we're going to get through them with the same amount of time as usual. Three things God says that you don't do as you look at the future. The first one is, you don't boast about it. You don't boast about the future. Proverbs 27, verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Somebody can sound very foolish talking about what's going to happen tomorrow. Tonight is the Super Bowl. There, for the last 2 weeks, we've known who the teams are going to be. And there have been people that, for a living, it is their job to study videos, study film, analyze every player on every team, look at all the matchups, look at all the stats. And all day long, in the last 2 weeks, people are making predictions. Here's what's going to happen. People who study it every day. And we see, after the game is finished tonight, we can go back and look at all those and see how many of the experts, people that study this every day, how many of them were very wrong in their predictions. It's fine to make predictions. It's fun to make predictions. But the Bible says we don't boast about tomorrow. In other words, we don't act like dictators. We don't act like, oh, I know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. And I'm going to design my life today because I know what tomorrow is going to be like. We sound very foolish when we start doing it because we're wrong all the time. Somebody who does that is just going to be wrong all the time. And they're going to lose credibility. You're not going to trust them. Because you say, you know, you say this is going to happen, it didn't happen. And you were so confident about this, well, it didn't happen. So we're going to lose a lot of credibility. We're going to lose a lot of trust from people if we get very arrogant about what's going to happen tomorrow. The Bible says don't be boastful about tomorrow. You're probably already thinking about James chapter 4. But James addressed this specific attitude. He says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go in such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, and here's what he says, he concludes it with this. You boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. But think about it, that's a pretty serious charge, but it's true, it's logical. No, nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow, and if you say, oh yeah, I know, listen to me, James says that kind of boasting is really evil, it's really sinful, because you're actually kind of putting yourself in the position of God. Thinking that you have his type of wisdom, his type of perspective. And we don't. No human does. So what you don't do about tomorrow is you don't boast about tomorrow. We'll talk about planning a little bit later, which is good. But we need to never have the attitude of boasting when it comes about tomorrow. We act like dictators. Second thing the Bible says don't do when it comes the thinking about tomorrow is you don't panic. Not only do you not boast, but you don't panic about tomorrow. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 34? Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Or tomorrow has enough trouble of its own, Jesus said. Have you ever thought about why you have to sleep? Have you ever thought about that? Why God made us with bodies that have to sleep? That we only have so many hours in a day, but yet our bodies have to sleep. They have to go unconscious. And then start all over the next day. Why didn't God make us with bodies that didn't have sleep? That we can just go and go and go, and we don't wear down every day and have to build back up and wear down every day. And why were we just perpetual? Now, there's an answer to that that I'll never understand, and probably none of us will ever understand. God made us the way He made us, exactly the way He wanted to make us. That's the easy answer to that. But when we think about a day, we think about 24 hours, we think about the fact that the sun comes up, the sun goes down, and we have to sleep. God has seemed to design our lives to give us sort of bite-sized days, bite-sized moments. That when we have bad days, when everything goes wrong, everything is bad, nothing worked out, that this day will end. Then we have to go to sleep. The sun goes down. And tomorrow we can redo. Then we have these little bite-sized implements in life. Bite-sized portions. Then we have a day. And we know if there is a tomorrow, that it can be very different than the day we just experienced. So in that sense, it's very helpful. That we're not just perpetual. That this day ends. That this day stops. We go to sleep. You wake up with the ability to change what happens yesterday. The ability to prevent, to learn from yesterday. I think that's very helpful. And Jesus says, look, you have today. Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Tomorrow's going to get here. Why bring it to today? It's going to get here on its own. It's not going to get here quicker because you worry about it. What did Jesus say? He says, look, you can't add an hour to your life. You can't change you can't change time by worrying. It'll get here. Focus on today. Don't panic about tomorrow. So we don't boast about tomorrow. The Bible says don't do that. Jesus said don't panic about tomorrow. The third thing we don't do thinking about tomorrow is we don't procrastinate. We don't procrastinate. The great verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 that we studied on Wednesday night when we were going through the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 4. It's a great verse. It's a bit poetic. But it's a great verse about putting things off. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4 says, he who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. He who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. What does that mean? He says, you got a farmer out in the field, and if all he does is look around for a reason not to plant, he'll never plant. If he just stares at the clouds, look, now the wind's blowing over there, better not do anything today. Well, I see it over there, it's not really a great day to work. You see, those things are always going to be there. No day is perfect. No day, there's no ideal setting to do anything. The Bible tells us, look, if you're always going to watch the wind, if you're always going to look at the clouds, you're never going to produce anything. So don't do that. There's always going to be those things. You have to continue to sow if you expect to ever reap. A great poem about procrastination. Man writes, procrastination is my sin. It only brings me sorrow. I know I ought to change my life, and I will tomorrow. So many people are that way. I know I need to do better. I know I need to change. I know I need to adjust this. I know I need to plant. I know I need to do the work if I'm going to produce something, but yeah, I'll do it tomorrow. Well, we all want to get it over with. Move on. Settle it. If we need to settle it. We need to plan if we need to plan. If we constantly just look for the things that are going to stop us, we won't do any of it. Bible says don't boast about tomorrow. The Bible says don't panic about tomorrow. The Bible says don't procrastinate. Whether that be spiritually, physically, whatever the case may be. Now the Bible says also though, not only don't do things, the Bible says you should do other things in relation to the future. So what does the Bible say about the future, things we should be doing about tomorrow? Well, we learn all of them from Joshua chapter 1. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1 for the remainder of our time this morning. And some things that God, some things that God said to Joshua before he led the Israelites into the promised land. We know the situation. We know that Joshua is about to take over, about to lead the people into the promised land. They're on the east side of the Jordan River. We know that he is about to face at least seven fortified cities, at least seven established armies. And he's getting some final instructions here from God about how to take care of this situation. So Joshua's future looks pretty daunting. It looks pretty scary. I've got this new generation of Israelites that have grown up in the wilderness. That's all they've ever known, because that other generation had to die. Everybody but Joshua and Caleb had to die in the wilderness because they agreed with the 10 spies and said, oh, we can't do it. So they all die. A new generation rises up with Joshua and Caleb. And life looks pretty scary on the other side of that river. And God knew that. God knows us. He knows our anxieties. He knows our pressure. So before they cross the river, God's just like a coach almost. You know, you get the people together and say, here's what we're going to do. Here's what you need to know about what's about to take place. And so he tells them a few things that we can all put in our own lives about how to face the future. The first thing he says to do, he said, you need to set the plan in motion. You need to set a plan in motion. That's the first thing. Look at verse 2 of Joshua chapter 1. Moses, my servant, is dead. The first thing God tells Joshua, he said, guess what? Moses is dead. Now, they knew that. That wasn't any sort of mystery. God did not tell them something they didn't already know. They had mourned over Moses. He was their leader. He had died. That wasn't a headline. You know, we know that. Why did he say Moses is dead? He said that because it was a way of saying Moses is dead, but that doesn't stop what we're supposed to do. And that can happen in life. Something falls apart. Maybe someone dies, like Moses. Maybe something adjusts what is supposed to happen. But God is saying, you keep going. That doesn't change the purpose. That doesn't change what we're supposed to be doing. Because one person isn't part of it anymore. Because the family is a part of it. Because you got moved, your job had to move you to another place. That means you still have to be faithful even though you moved to a different city. God was saying, look, your job is gone, but you still have to be faithful. This thing has changed in your life, but you still remain faithful. You were single, now you're married. You still have to be faithful. The relationship ended. You still move forward. It's so interesting to me. The first thing God says is, you know what? Moses is dead. Well, yeah, we know that. Yeah, but that doesn't change what we're doing. That doesn't change the plan. That doesn't mean you're not going to the promised land. It means he's not going to the promised land. Just because Moses is sitting around, we're still doing what we do. He didn't say Moses is dead, so you quit. Moses is dead, we keep going. Proverbs 16, verse 9. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. That's exactly what James said in James chapter 4 that we read earlier. If the Lord wills, we will do this and this. James didn't say don't have a plan. Nowhere in that passage did he say not have a plan. He just said, but the Lord is the one who directs the path, who leads us. Same thing there in Proverbs 16, verse 9. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. We can't look at the future and say, well, since I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, I don't need to have a plan. Joshua could stay on the east side of the Jordan River and say, well, Moses is dead, the leader, the planner is gone, so we're just sitting here. We don't need to have a plan. We're just going to wave a white flag and say, well, we can't defeat those fortified cities and those armies. We can't say that. We have to have a plan in our lives. We have to plan for the future financially. We have to plan for the future about our families. We have to plan about jobs. We have to plan. That's not boastful. That's not acting like a dictator of your future. That's just using the brain that God gave you. That's counting the cost. That's saying, look, here's the situation. Here's the plan. I know it may not work this way. I can't be a dictator. I can't predict the future. I know it may not be this perfect, but I'm still going to have a plan. And if it doesn't work, I can adjust. I'm not going to crawl up in the corner if it doesn't go perfectly. I'm going to factor in that I might have to adjust some things, but I'm going to have a plan. The mind of a man is his plans, but the Lord directs his steps. When we think about the future, we have to have a plan. We have to set a plan in motion. Because that's what God told Joshua in verse 2. Moses is dead. Now therefore arise. Cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. You're going to have a plan. You're going to carry it out even if Moses is not here. The second thing God says about the future, things we ought to do, is we ought to stay in the Word. Verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. You're going to have a plan, and that plan is going to be modeled after what God wants you to do. You can't have a plan that contradicts what God wants you to do, can you? And the Bible says this is what you're supposed to do, and you have a plan in motion that contradicts that. That's sinful. That's a sinful plan. And you are destined to failure. God tells Joshua, you're going to go across this river. You're going to go to the promised land. But the only way you're going to have success is if you stay in the Word. Be sure your plan models the plan I give you. You don't make up your own plan. Look at verse 8. He talks about the particulars of staying in the Word. Verse 8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Tells him to do three things right there in that verse about staying in the Word. What do you do with the Word? He said, first of all, talk about it. It shall not depart from your mouth. You talk about the law of Moses. The second thing you do to stay in the Word is you think about it. It says, but you shall meditate on it day and night. And the third thing he says, you got to do it. You got to do it. Do what the Word says. So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Three things to do with God's Word every day is we make our plans about the future. We talk about it, we think about it, but then you have to do it. A lot of people know a lot of Bible. They know a lot of verses. They don't ever apply them. They don't ever do them. Some people are good about coming to worship services, Bible studies. The second they leave the building, the last thought they have about the Bible until they come back. That's not thinking about God's Word. You have to know it, talk about it, be willing to talk about it, think about it, and then do it. Faith without works is dead. What does God tell us to do about the future? You have to have a plan. You have to stay in the Word. Finally, you have to step out in faith. Step out in faith. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Three verses right there close together, he repeats the same thing. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. So by the way, in case I forgot to mention it, be strong and very courageous. We have to step out in faith. All the things we're talking about today related to the future are not easy things to do. In a world that doesn't believe in God, a world that rejects what you believe, when you talk about God's Word, think about God's Word, do God's Word, you're going to run into some opposition. Joshua was about to cross that river and go into the promised land. It's not just about social rejection for him. It's going to be about people getting killed. It's going to be about armies and bloodshed. That takes courage. They could only think about what was going to happen in the future, how bad it was going to be. And God says, you have to be strong. You have to have courage. You have to have courage. Be courageous. And he tells them why they can do that at the end of verse 9. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Whatever phone number you have, whatever address you have, God is with you. Whatever conversation you have, whatever friends you have, God is with you. Be courageous because of that. Know that in your life. Joshua didn't say, I know the word, but I'm too scared. I'm going to stay on this side of the river. We know, of course, what Joshua said at the end of this book. When he said, you do what you do. You have to make your own decision about faith. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. God always does what he said he was going to do. And we trust that. So I'm going to stay with God. And you decide who you're going to be with. That's a statement of what? Courage. That's a man that says, God gives me strength. That's what Paul said too. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Joshua found courage. Paul found courage. We all can find the courage that we need from the Lord. Don't boast about tomorrow. Don't panic about tomorrow. Don't procrastinate. Settle things that need to be settled. Do what you can do today. Don't let things linger. We need to set a plan in motion. We need to stay in the Word, and then we need to step out in faith. That's all we can do about tomorrow. There's nothing else we can do. We do those things, we can have a tremendous amount of peace. We'll have confidence, a good confidence, a correct confidence in what happens tomorrow. We'll be able to sleep better. Somebody once said, the person who always complains about how the ball bounces is usually the one that dropped the ball. It's pretty true. People say, things always don't seem to work out for me. Things aren't always going right. And look into it and seem like they're the ones that made it happen. They just don't want to admit it. We can avoid all of that.
We can avoid that type of disposition, that type of attitude. But hear what the Bible says about the future. The Bible's also clear about one thing about the future. Maybe the most important thing about the future is the Lord is coming back. The Bible says be ready for that. You don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know when. We don't know the day. Jesus even said, only the Father knows when I'm going to return. And twice he said he's going to come back like a thief. Thieves don't announce when they're going to come to your house. They just show up. And that's the way the Lord's going to come back. The question is, are you ready for that? Are you ready for the Lord to come again? Are you ready spiritually for the future? If you're not, you need to confess Christ, repent of your sins, and be baptized. We'll do that for you today. I encourage you to do that. If you just need prayers today, we can pray with you. Whatever it is, please come while we stand and sing together.